life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Once again, and welcome to the Spirit Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
We are mediums, healers, and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. And on this show, we focus on education. And through Mick's deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing remote healing. So if you'd like to join us with a question about remote healing, we'd love to hear from you. The number is toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call, so it won't cost you too much. And that's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Monday night at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services we have to offer, we suggest you go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live now at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Each week, live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but he has now come back to us to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And I have to do that right now so we can get on with the show. So without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, and she's going to explain a little bit more. So it's goodbye from him for this week. I'll see you, on Thursday, actually, yes, the next show on Thursday.
Right. Absolutely, just before you fall unconscious again, just for a little while.
Yeah.
For those of you who haven't listened to Spirit's work before, Gregory Hay, who you're going to be listening to, the Spirit Guide, he's the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who consists of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team who have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to hopefully understand the nature of our existence and possibly save our world from this negative spiral we seem to be caught in. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group, so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. This means there's no room for errors because interpretation doesn't come into it. So as Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And once again, for those of you who may have a question for Gregory regarding our show topic, it's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll-free. The number is 001-530-876-3222. And as I say, that we're going to be discussing remote healing. So maybe you have, maybe you haven't got a question as such, but maybe you've got something that you'd like to share with our readers on how you do your remote healing, and you'd like to share that with us. So that would be really nice too. Okay, well, I do believe Gregory's with us now.
with love and light. May blessings always be upon your pathway, my dear friend.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Well, I, you know, doing a bit of research on remote healing, which can also be called distant healing and absent healing. It's called different things by different people. But basically, it is to do with being able to heal at a distance from somebody without actually being with them. Now, a lot of situations that I came across, most actually, to be quite honest, don't actually mention the spirit world at all.
Yes, how interesting that is.
And I'd like to obviously talk about these. I'd like to go through them individually at some point. I've got probably about 9, something like that, different methods that I'd like to talk about as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
would you like to begin with that?
Yes, okay. Okay, I'll do that. There are basic methods. There's one that you can use a photograph of somebody or maybe a drawing to focus your energy on and sending your energy to, concentrated on that.
Yes. Well, first of all, of course, you have to look at, well, what are you doing if you are sending your energy to someone? So we need to, first of all, understand what actually is the physical mechanic on your physical side of life and what the interactivity is that you are able to use to actually send energy anywhere. Mm-hmm. Now, you can actually set up an experiment, in fact, by perhaps taking a photograph of a friend and having them sit in the other room, in another room.
Mm.
You can try that as an experiment. I think that would be worthwhile doing. To see how your energies work, for example, and that you would perhaps use it as a platform to actually generally hone your skills, if that is indeed what you are talking about. Is it actually a physical interaction that you are having? Are you extending your auric field energy into such a way as to send it to somewhere else? Or is it then perhaps that you are somehow sending your thoughts over to someone else? Either way, you must try to evaluate whether you have actual physical evidence that you can bring to the table of your understanding. Otherwise, it wouldn't really be that worth doing, would it? It could be said that if you are doing something remotely, shall we say, from your own place that you are sitting at, perhaps a dining room table or whatever, but maybe that is a place that you find that you can sit down at and concentrate upon, that it allows you time to focus, perhaps. Maybe even that you do not necessarily actually do any form of meditation as such, but that, in fact, it's something that you use outside of that, even. It may be, then, that what I'm saying is that, so you can have another person in another room. This is an experiment I suggest you set up yourselves to actually prove to yourselves that you are doing what you say you're doing.
Okay, go on.
Because for many people, they will say, oh yes, I send remote healing out to here and there. And then they'll, but they won't necessarily have the evidence back that that is what the person has actually felt.
Mm.
You see?
Mm.
So, then I would suggest you do this as a little experiment and actually have someone else sit in another room or perhaps in another flat or their house at another part of your town or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that you obviously can be in communication by the telephone so that you will be able to talk about the experience afterward. Set it perhaps at a specific time,
mm-hmm.
if it's in another dwelling. But either way, you can actually use this as a mechanic to see how that mechanic works for you. how you are also connecting with that energy. And what energy, after all? Is it then that you are actually using some other form of energy, a kinetic energy? Or is it just an imagination of the mind? I know I'm playing devil's advocate here, but someone has to, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because you are living in the physical world, you are actually dealing with a non-physical property. Or are you? Are you actually maybe dealing with something that's physical, that you can see? If you took an aura photograph, for example, of what you are doing when you are actually sending remote healing to someone else, what is it that you would see? I know that perhaps a lot of people do not figure that much on aura photographs in any event. But many do. So we're going to concentrate on those for the moment. If you actually sit down and imagine that face, then perhaps we're saying then, are we not, that we have a photograph. And that is something, it's an image then that you can stare at. You don't necessarily actually have to close your eyes. You could just stare at the image if you want. What are you evoking in yourself? You are wanting to send compassionate thoughts to that person. We'll call it that for the moment. Compassionate thoughts are what you're sending when you are sending healing to them. You want them to be well. You want them to feel and sense your energy. But actually, it isn't your energy, is it? Because mechanically, what you are doing, if you sat even in another room, you would not be able to extend your energy through the walls into another room. If you took an aura photograph of that room, you would not see your energy coming through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Okay.
However, what you may do is actually connect with that person, with that person's consciousness. And in so doing, you actually illuminate that consciousness with your energy. So how is this possible?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm suggesting here, dear friends, is that it's actually to do with your spirit. And I know that all of the matter that you have read about, none of it has said about spirit.
No.
Particularly Reiki or whatever. It's all about actual universal energies.
It is, yes.
Yes.
Could I just say that, is it so, you know, the power of intention, where does that come from? Because that's, you know, a compassionate thought and the power of intention.
Yes.
Is something that obviously springs to mind in this situation.
Yes, absolutely. Very well then. So, you have a power of intention to do this. What is it that you are evoking in your physicality? Obviously, your physical body isn't lying dormant as you do this. You are focusing your thoughts. You are narrowing this band of wavelength. That is the important point for you to understand. Is it coming from a particular chakra? These thoughts? No. It's actually a chemical evolution that's happening physically to your body. And what is happening is that you are building up pheromonic, we call them amphithites. And you are building up these chemical amphithites, a collection of molecules which move together to actually stimulate certain other glands within your physical state. This then is the core release, if you'd like, of your energy. But where does it go? How does that release anywhere? If you took an aura photograph of the time at which you are concentrating your thoughts to gather these amphithites, you are actually bringing about a very, very close situation of energy that actually illuminates your aura. And it moves in a steady state of a certain color. And that's the color of pink. And this color will actually gradually grow and move in as much as it will actually come and form out of around the heart area, and it will actually form around the upper chest. You will feel it physically if you're very good at it. What then happens is that this is a situation which is then projected out into the universe, into a different plane of existence. And what actually happens here is that your spirit, what you have to understand is it's your spirit every single time that sends this energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that eternal etheric part of you.
That eternal etheric part of you that never ever exists in the physical reality, but always remains in the spirit world, in the ether world, because you are really not a three-dimensional being. You are actually, if you include the spirit, a four-dimensional being.
Mm. Okay. Okay, so you don't have to actually. So what happens if you're focusing on this situation and, say, the power of intention, and so your positive thoughts, do they come into it as being separate to healing thoughts? Compassionate thoughts and positive thoughts are slightly different.
Well, they are, but they are still generating a pheromonic activity. Okay. If you even, perhaps then, we are saying, well, what is a healing thought? What is it that you're doing? What is it that you are gathering here? I am well aware that if you as a physical being are trying to heal someone, you are willing them. You are sending your will, using your mind, your conscious effort, to focus your thoughts into wanting them to be better. So you are actually creating compassionate impulses, which are arriving out of your energy centers. This is something, then, it means to say that you are actually crescenting your energy pattern. You're increasing it by bringing these kinds of thoughts together. Compassionate thoughts, we'll say. And you are energizing them into forming, as I say, as a physical interaction between your conscious mental and your the way in which your physical body actually interacts with that. It's a pheromonic activity, a chemical activity. You are a chemical being. That's what this collection of cells does. It comes together and releases chemicals to do this or that work.
But it's interesting to, you know, when we try to heal our children, our loved ones near and dear to us, through the love that we have for them, we can't seem to be able to do it, and yet we can maybe heal other people from the distance just through a photograph.
Yes. It's quite strange, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
This may well be because of your series of attachment is something that creates a difficulty there. Because it's not just your compassion. You are also creating, as well, negative energies in that situation.
Because you're worried.
Because you're worried, yes. So you actually have a self-imposing restriction on the energy that you create. Yet, if you ask someone else, a dear friend, to give healing, perhaps, or send healing to your loved one, child, mm-hmm. it will be a completely different situation. Even though they may be very close to them, they won't have that genetic tie.
Yes, I mean, I admit normally you would, if you were near enough, it would be a hands-on kind of healing that you would help them with and aid them with medicine and that sort of thing. Usually
yes.
It's only from a distance, isn't it, that you would think of doing this, or even, I mean, because you could do this while your child was in bed and you were just downstairs at night sending healing thoughts
upstairs.
Yes,
absolutely so.
Obviously, you could put your hands on them as well, but we're talking about, you know, so we wouldn't normally do that, go that far. Anyway, if I could just run through a few other things.
Yes.
Excuse me, I'm going to cough.
Yes.
There's...
That's all right, I cannot catch...
Germs
or...
So what about a meridian chart or a reflexology chart? Then, and actually do maybe concentrate on that, thinking and having a person in mind?
Yes.
You could do that? Is that possible?
You could, absolutely so. But what really is it that you are doing? That's what I'm saying. If you have this as a vehicle, it's a vehicle. It's a way for you to express yourself and to actually concentrate this.
Hello, caller.
Hi, hello, this is Scott.
Oh, hello, Scott.
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend. I have a question on this healing. If we have which they talk about the lost mode of prayer. So if we are praying for someone for healing, and if we're praying for them to be healed of some disease, cancer, or whatever, then are we helping that disease manifest, or should we just bypass the disease and pray that they are already healed and see that already done?
Yes, well, that is a very interesting point, my dear Ben. Do you concentrate upon the disease, or do you actually just concentrate upon them as a being? Well, the point is, friend, that now I understand that many people, when they're doing this, perhaps should we say then that the person has something very visual. So we're looking at something like cancer, for example. Now, if you take this as a structure, what you are doing is you are perhaps illuminating in your consciousness what that actually looks like to you. You may have a mental picture of that person because you know what they look like. Or alternatively, it may be just that you are focusing upon their energy. And how this actually works is, this is the point, really, I suppose, because you have certain situations and disciplines in physical life where perhaps you are told that the connotation is a physical energy. Therefore, you are actually using some kind of structure, as you have just said, my dear friend, little bird.
Mm-hmm.
And that you are actually using some kind of structure which is evoking energies of, that really have nothing whatsoever to do with the spirit world. Well, why would you want to say that it has nothing at all to do with the spirit world? Is that because you are trying to create something else? Are you trying to say then that there is a mechanic that bypasses the spirit world altogether and that actually moves through physical time? Or is it that you are actually using the spirit world as a vehicle? That's what I'm saying, really, is that all of the mechanics that you have on physical life, all of the different ways that you are suggesting to me or to anyone else, is in fact using spirit harmony. You may not create that in your mind. You may think that you are evoking certain energies from yourself and actually transferring them, but who on earth do you think transfers it? Do you think you are willing it yourself?
Well,
because you are
energy.
Well, yes, no, I understand that. But my point is that universal energy to connect with, yes, well, that is a matter for the individual, is it not? That you think and feel that you are connecting with the universal energy. What is that? It's what I'm saying is that it's a part of the etheric dimension. That the etheric dimension, how can I say this? The universal energy is in our world. It's not in your world. It's
okay.
Not a part of your world, you see?
Yes.
So what you are doing then is that what you are actually doing is you are, when you gather up this energy, you are utilizing this gathering force, as we say, we call it amplified. It means to say then that you are creating this cell structure, this chemical interactivity. When you do this, you are actually also connecting with the spirit world, whether you like it or not. Whether you disagree with this, it really doesn't matter that much, because that's your physical opinion. what you are, however, doing, and it's exactly the same friend, whether you are doing this and creating energy and sending it, or whether you are perhaps even giving somebody a reading. It doesn't matter what you're doing, you are still creating the energy link between one person and another person. So actually what you are doing is you are connecting with an altered response to your spirit. And it is, in fact, the link with your spirit and the spirit world that is sending that energy from one place to another place. Universal energy exists in the spirit world. It does not exist in physical reality. You can take a photograph, and it has an apparition in the physical reality because of the energy divine which illuminates that space. And what you will see as a physical being is that your auric field, if you took an actual video, shall we say, of you as you were sending it, you would see that your auric field is extending, the colors are changing as you concentrate and link in with that person. In the very act of linking in with that person, using your mental ability, your consciousness to focus that energy upon that thought and concentrate on it, what you are doing is immediately linking with your spirit. And it's the spirit world that actually takes it, shares it from you to them. That is actually what's happening. So you may think that you are linking in with the universal force of life. Yes, I understand that. But it's much stronger in the etheric world than it will ever be in physical reality.
Okay.
And what actually happens when you are... So that's to do with remote viewing and healing, yes.
Okay,
and
so...
What you are doing is you could actually be there and you could have the photograph upon your lap, put your hand upon the photograph, and you will feel your hand will actually become warm and hot over the photograph.
Yes.
And what is actually happening there is that you are transferring that energy. If you took a photograph of it, you would see that the energy is actually flowing out of your hand into the image on the photograph. How is that at all possible? And you wouldn't necessarily, as a physical being, feel that energy underneath, as it is perhaps going onto your knee, or as it is moving into the table. You would actually feel, and this is interesting, I have to bring this up very quickly, because if you, shall we say then, you have the photograph on a table, what
okay.
will actually happen is that the molecular structure of what is happening as the energy comes out from your hand actually interacts with the molecules on the surface of the table. And what will happen is that if you keep doing it long enough, you will find a sort of a fluidity will build up upon the table surface itself. And it will be, in fact, that the spirit world around that energy will then take that energy and direct it immediately to that person.
Okay, let me ask you then, is there a difference between our intent? We're doing that, we're sending that energy, but if our thoughts are this person needs healed from a particular disease, are we empowering that disease at that time, or is it better for us to have the intent that they are already healed? Is there a difference between that at that time that we're transferring this to the spirit world?
Yes, that's a very interesting point, my friend. Imagining then, you are saying, in a sense, imagining that you are actually looking at the disease, because we're using cancer as a logical form here, that you are actually reducing it, its cell structure. And that is a very good idea to be doing. It is quite obvious to say that if you are bringing about this intention, then you are actually helping the spirit world in many respects in organizing the structure of what your intention is. And I'm saying that this is extremely helpful so that if you can do this in your mind, in your consciousness, actually focus upon it and say, I am wanting to destruct the cells, create a structure whereby the cells are actually diminished in your mind, then this is obviously a very useful tool. It may well be as well, friend, that as in doing this, that you actually start to receive images back in your mind of seeing just this very thing, that the structure actually reduces itself. Now, it may be that shall we say then, that if you are practicing hands-on healing and you're not doing this remotely, what is it that you would actually see? Obviously, you would experience yourself, if you're not having an actual out-of-body experience at the time of doing it. If you are connecting with healing in a different universal energy way, then it may well be that you actually feel the energy coming from your hands and going to that space. You are perhaps driven mentally to go to that space and actually place your hands where you understand that particular cancerous growth to be, and you will feel the energy actually leaving your physical hand and going into that person at that physical body moment. Yes.
But what about the what Scott was saying about actually wishing, seeing this person well, rather than actually diminishing something? Is there a difference in being able to do that? I mean, obviously different people will work in different ways. So
absolutely,
if he was just imagining this person well, that
then
would work just as good?
Oh, well, yes, absolutely so. I'm saying, in fact, that also, you see, I'm trying to bring in other different conditions as well and saying that these work equally as well. The situation then, if you are sending them a blanket, what we would determine as blanket conditions, you are actually sending your energy and focusing it with the amphicites, as I say, and connecting with your spirit, then it means to say that you are wishing them in the eyes of your own consciousness. You are, what you are doing there is you are actually connecting with your spirit, that beautiful spirit, which is also connecting with the rest of the spirit world. You are speeding up your pheromonic activity, and you're also gathering up your energy, which is spiritual energy. And that is something which is then of great use to the spirit world. So you, in sending it to them, it's immediate, don't forget, because thoughts are living things. So it means to say that you are actually gathering up that energy and passing off to them. You are looking at them being well-being, not being the sick person that they are, perhaps in bed or whatever it is. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're actually not responding in that way. Maybe they're just doing a job of work at that time, but this is a part of the complaint that they have, that they're having to carry on with in their life. So you're actually using that energy to send to them. Am I saying necessarily then that they're always going to pick this up as well? First of all, though, we have to deal with the situation of you sending this energy and the fact that even just by you seeing them being a well person is actually going to make a difference to what they feel. However, it doesn't mean to say that they necessarily will. Don't be so disappointed, my dear friend, if it turns out that they when you phone them up and they say, no, I didn't feel a thing. That may lead to great disappointment to you. But what you must understand is that very often the spirit world can work in certain ways in which we cannot necessarily, when we're having a physical life, identify with specifically at that time. And it means to say that actually what's happening here is that the spirit world are doing things which that human being is not consciously aware of. Doesn't mean to say that it's not happening. And every single bit of the energy that you send to that person, whether it's via what you determine as universal energies, as I say, the universal energies are really the spirit world. It's unfortunate that many people try to move away from every moment that they can try to move away from the spirit world, usually because of some Eastern philosophy or whatever depicts that the spirit world is just the between life. It's not the life. You see? So you have to move away from that aspect of it and understand that, no, actually, the spirit world is where we exist in eternity. It's actually the physical life is just but a temporary situation. When you connect with the universal energy, you are connecting with your spirit foremost, and the universal energy which runs through everything.
Okay.
It's part of the ether world.
All right. Thank you for that, Scott. I hope that helped.
Yes. Is another question, the universal energy, is there a particular pathway that we should invoke in that connection in the universal energy that brings about more healing, more clearing, more definition?
Yes, most interesting, my dear friend. The universal energy connection, of course, is the energy of love from you as a physical being. So really, purely, I am not citing any specific rites here.
Yes.
Apart from that, you would always say the exact same rites that you would when you are doing anything else, when you are connecting with your spirit, when you are connecting with your whatever energies it is that you bring in or think that you are evoking. It doesn't matter. It's semantics. It's just words. The central energy which controls all of this is the energy of love. That is the situation that you invoke as a physical being, and you bring about this pheromonic activity through chemical interaction, as this chemical interaction as a physical being brings about this speeding up of the molecular structure, speeding up of the vibrancy around you and within you. If it does this in a physical voyage, it also creates this in the ether world dynamic. And what you are doing when you are asking for your highest guides and helpers, second to none, to bless you, keep you safe at this time that you sit, knowing that all that is said, done, heard, felt, sensed in any way, that you connect with the spirit world in this higher guidance form, this beautiful energy, you are asking of the spirit world to connect with you. This is what you are citing, and that you then follow it on, I would suggest, with the actual name of the person. You then follow it on with the image of the person that you have in your mind, in your heart.
Or all place.
All place. Absolutely so. If it is then that you wish to send healing, shall we say, to a race, you can do that too. If you want to send it to a tribe, a tribe of people, perhaps, who are feeling very downtrodden at this time, a tribe perhaps who are suffering in the winter months, a native tribe, shall we say. There are many parts of the Lakota tribe at this time who are suffering greatly at this time through lack of heating and lack of this and that, lack of food on the table even. Many of them die off in the winter. Purely through lack of heat. These are things which you can do as physical beings, as well as donating money to them, to their cause, of course, and helping them to survive. You can actually work by sending them beautiful, loving energy.
Okay.
The secret is love, the love energy. And is this a considered holographic energy?
Holographic energy.
Well, when you invoke love within yourself, what you are actually doing is you are creating a pattern upon an imprint upon the spirit world, upon the next dimension, if you like. So how this actually relays is that it does become something that we can see, because it has color and structure. Actually, it doesn't come in the shape of a heart, of course, but it does actually have color and structure. Because you have given it your intention, it means to say then that it is something of the imprint of your energy. So what actually that does is also, and this is quite interesting I feel, is that it also leaves a trail that when you come to view your Akashic book, it's actually something which can be seen and evoked upon the page of your life. And it becomes actually a holographic imprint upon the page of your life. Because many of the thoughts and feelings that you have, whether they are positive or negative, create holographic images of that situation. They are, after all, situations that you are able to regurgitate in your mind, and you remember those thoughts and feelings that you have at the time. That forms a conscious memory. Though each one of those conscious memories can become a holographic image for your lifetime experience. And this is actually how they are invoked upon your book of life. So they are sent as specific image imprints, which are holographic in their nature and become interdimensionally linked in this way. Because, of course, it's actually what you are talking about here is the link with your spirit, ultimately, that helps you to connect with the universe. That's actually what's happening. And so it actually ties in then that as you think these thoughts, as you create these thoughts in your own physical life, you are actually laying the holographic imprint of what you've created upon your Akashic book, as well as actually sending the energy itself to them and their life. And they're receiving it as an energy upon their Akashic book and their imprint of consciousness, because they feel it.
So they will see that in their Akashic records,
yes,
if they were to look at them when they are in the spirit world.
Absolutely so.
You sent them some healing.
Yes, absolutely so. Yes. And they will give thanks for that person. So never think, my dear friend, that when you are, shall we say then, that you are giving healing to someone who is passing, is about to pass. And you always think, oh, well, that was a bit of a waste of time because it obviously didn't work because they passed. Well, how do you know that? Actually, what's happened is that you've gathered up your chemical interaction, your amphithites, you've brought about the situation of closeness and energy, loving energy that you've distilled within your heart and your mind, your consciousness. Yes, it's an illusion, perhaps, some might say, who do not believe in such matters.
Uh-huh.
But actually what you are doing is, and we always have to have a mind into understanding the pathway of people who are skeptic about such things. What you are doing is you are creating this analytical energy between what you create as a physical being and the spirit world. You are creating this holographic energy and you are actually enabling to send it. So they are receiving it, and it means to say that when they actually see this in memory of their life experience, when they view it in the halls of learning in their Akashic book, what they're actually going to do is send you back that loving gift that you sent to them. They may even do it in person and come to you and to say thank you. You may feel them around you.
That's very wonderful. And is when we invoke the love energy, is there a particular color, or is the rainbow of all colors invoked at that time, or is there a particular rays of color that we should work with in the love energy?
Yes, an interesting point, my dear Ben, and I have to say actually specifically what happens there is that it's not necessarily a specific color, because remembering that now, and I'm very much aware that many people work with color and that kind of thing, and you could say, well, yes, I'm sending this color or that color, and that may work too. I'm not disagreeing with this as a premise. I'm saying, however, that actually in the spirit world, because, yes, and also in the physical reality, because many people work in the sensation of the light, they are saying, so they are sending white light to someone. actually, in the spirit world, our color range is completely different to the physical state. So you cannot necessarily say that white light being sent by a physical person ends up being white in the spirit world. Because actually what you are reflecting is the way in which physical beings reflect energy and understand the energy of color, because you are working in the prismic color code that is afforded you because of the physical state radiation and the way that prism of energy works in physical reality. What I'm saying is, in the spirit world, we don't actually have physical colors like you have them in physical life, because actually, for example, when you see something that's green, it's actually reflecting everything but green. That's why you see it as green. So that is actually the structure of the energy that you see. If you are in the spirit world, the green color that you see, where if you are looking at a leaf, shall we say, I know I digress slightly, but it is important. If you're looking at a leaf, shall we say, and it's a specific green, shall we say it's a blackberry leaf or something like that, usually in the midsummer or the height of the growing season, it's quite a dark green. If you are looking at it when it first came out, it would be a very vibrant green. What I'm saying is the dark green usually ends up in having all different kinds of blues and yellows and other colors sewn in through it that you don't actually see in physical life. And that when you are looking at it as an image in the spirit world, it actually has a great deal more color to it. Look at a spirit being or whatever, and you will see that actually, if you were looking at a spirit being that manifests itself in physical reality, it would have very little color within it. Because actually, if it came through in a form of materialization, using perhaps ectoplasm or something like that, it would have very little color. It would be mainly white.
Well, you said that the colour around the throat and the heart area is pink when we generate this compassion,
yes.
this loving vibration within us.
Yes.
So presumably, could we not use that as a projection?
Absolutely so.
A pink.
Of course, yes. And I'm saying this because it will actually help you to focus that energy when you can imagine that in your mind, illuminated in your consciousness. You will actually see it in front of your eyelids.
Mm.
Yes? And you will invoke that because it will help you to concentrate upon that. Oh, yes, I can feel and sense and see that wonderful color, and that it will be the color that is sent in the ether world. But I'm saying, coupled with that, will be all of the other etheric energies which will be resonated by the color that you send. So you may want to send that healing thought as pure color form. And you can do that too, in exactly the same way, friend, that you can turn that color form into a sound wave, if you wish, and send that.
What's pure color form? What do you mean by that?
The pure color form is, well, the point is, you see, what I'm saying is that there's a great difference between the actual physical presentation of what you see in physical reality. Pink is pink in physical reality, but actually in the spirit world, it is interwoven with blues, with purples, with different forms of color, which are intermittent, because the wavelengths actually in the spirit world is so completely diametrically opposed to physical reality. Because, as I say, you only have the three-dimensional states in physical reality to compose color in. In the spirit world, we have many dimensional states to compose color. So you are not just seeing the refracted light of what you see back, what that organism or energy is giving back to you. What you are also seeing is the actual color which is woven within it, and that it generates itself. Color energy generates other colors within it. So that when it's as though, my dear friend, you can use this as a simple experiment yourself too. In physical reality, if you actually look at a color long enough, it becomes an illumination of different colors that you begin to see within it.
Yeah.
So if you, for example, painted a particular color on a board, shall we say, and then you illuminate and look at that color and focus upon it, maybe even using it as a part of your higher consciousness. You may want to do this. Try it as an experiment, people. And you can actually do this, bring this about. And you will find that the color that you see, that you concentrate upon, in a nice clear light, will gradually take on the appearance of different colors. Why is this? It's not an illusion. You're not tricking your mind. What you are doing is you are accentuating, particularly if you feel a great welling of love within yourself at this time, you are actually accentuating the energy of that color, and it becomes something else within your auric field, because it extends your auric field out and around it. So you are perhaps evoking love energy during this time. You will find that you begin to witness some of the spirit colors, some of the colors from the interaction between your consciousness, your higher conscious state, and the spirit world. As that is evoked, it begins to change the color that you see into the color that it actually is in the spirit world.
Yes, I've seen that.
Okay, Scott.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Blessings to both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Do call again. Bye-bye.
God bless. Thank you.
Yes, well, we've only got a couple of minutes left anyway, but that was very interesting. And luckily, Scott covered a couple of the things that I was going to talk about. So quantum physics comes into play here, doesn't it?
Yes. And the folding of time. Don't forget that.
I think probably that we'll talk about this again next week, Monday, I think, because there's one thing after the other is being unravelled here, isn't it? And we've only got a couple of minutes left.
Well, of course, it's quite typical. You see, you grasp a hold of one subject and you actually find, surprise, surprise, that it is interwoven with so many other aspects. The point that we are trying to stress here is that you have to look at this in conjunction of the universal forms of life and the way in which dimensions interact and interpolate with your own. It's important as physical beings that you understand the structure of things, the actual mechanics that is behind something that you see and admire and look at and verse with. You become conversant then with these other structured forms as they interpolate with your own dimensional state. It's necessary for you to form conscious awareness of these interpolations of different forms of energy from the dimensions of the spirit world as they enhance your life. Because when you are creating these crescents of energy, loving energy from within yourself, you are actually connecting, yes, with the universal energies of love. Of course you are. But those universal energies of love are defined in many different ways within the spirit world, ways in which you actually can evoke physical representations of it, both in our reality and in yours.
And we're going to learn all about those again next week.
With love and life, my friend.
Thank you, Gregory. It's been fascinating. And we hope you've enjoyed us on Spirit's Work today. It's been a wonderful show, and do go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, to find out more information about us. We you can book an Akashic reading from the site. Take a look. It's a journey through your book of life, your spiritual pathway, and all of the wonderful things that you can find out about yourself as an eternal being, and hopefully the future path that you're on. Anyway, you've been listening to Spirit's Work, and my name is Sylvie Avery. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.